Blog Talk Radio.
Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour on Blog Talk Radio. It is April the 9th, 2024, and you're listening to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. I am the pastor, Reverend Michael Rogers. I'm glad you have joined us tonight. I'm on the road tonight. We're going forward with our Bible study. I thank God for all of you who are on the line, those of you who are listening over the internet, those who will hear this Bible study long after it's been recorded. We pray God's blessing that you will continue to support the Church of God and continue to listen to the Bible study. First Baptist of Holly Springs is located at 208 Grigsby Avenue in the city of Holly Springs, North Carolina, where we are having in-person service. You're cordially invited to come and be a part of the service as a First Baptist. We start our service each Sunday morning at 10 a.m. 10 a.m., we are in the sanctuary, and we're giving God the praise. We invite you to come and be a part of the rich religious experience that is First Baptist of Holly Springs. We thank God for you. We thank God for all of you who continue to support. We were off for a couple of weeks. Of course, our studios are located in New York City, and they've had difficult weather in the last couple of weeks there. Whenever there's difficult weather there, it always plays havoc with the system. So we've been off for a couple of weeks, but we're back tonight with another Bible study. We're glad that you are with us tonight. We invite you to go to our Facebook page. Go there. Don't forget to like and then share. On the Facebook page, you'll find more information about First Baptist of Holly Springs. You'll find information about upcoming events. There also on the Facebook page, you're able to find the Bible study that you're listening to right now. You'll find the call-in number. That number is area code 845-241-9839. Area code 845-241-9839. You can call that number and you can be a part of the Bible study. Also, on the Facebook page, you'll find our Sunday morning service. If you're not able to come to First Baptist, or if you live out of the viewing area or the area of First Baptist or Holly Springs, you can always go to our Facebook page, and there you can watch the Sunday morning service of First Baptist of Holly Springs. So we invite you to go to our Facebook page. Stay in touch with us so that we can stay in touch with you. We thank God for being able to come to you tonight through this medium. We hope that you will tell others about the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. We're on every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. I want to thank some of the members of First Baptist who have been loyal to the Bible study. I want to thank Deaconess Fatine Rainey. Deaconess Rainey lost her mother a couple of weeks ago, so we certainly want to send our best regards and sympathy to her. We also want to speak out on Trustee Gene Mangum, Ministers Lester and McCullough, Deacons Taylor and Fuller, all of you who have supported the Bible study all last year and so far this year. We thank God for you. We pray that you will continue to do so as well. We're going to continue our Bible study. As I said, we were off for a couple of weeks, but we're back tonight. I'm on the road, but I'm here to give you a good Bible study tonight. We are in the book of Ephesians, the second chapter. Ephesians, the second chapter. We're going to be looking at verses 11 through 22. Our lesson tonight is called Live Each Day for Christ. Live Each Day for Christ. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this Bible study. We thank you for those who are on the line, those who are listening over the internet. I want to thank God for allowing us to have another Bible study. We pray now, God, that as we go into our study tonight, that you will bless this study and those who will hear it, that we will get information from this Bible study that will help us in our Christian walk. We thank you, God, that you did not leave us without a word. With these words, God, we're able to apply them to our heart and to our spirit and live the life according to your will and to your way. And for this, we want to thank you, Lord. We thank you, God, for all that you're doing for us right now. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As I said earlier, we're in the book of Ephesians. Second chapter of Ephesians. This is a letter that Paul writes to the church at Ephesus. And he wants to instruct them on a very important issue, an issue that was part of a controversy in that church. If you have been in any church, any house of God, you always, always controversy. There's always something controversial to talk about. And in this particular church, it was a controversy over those who were considered what is a Jew or what is a believer. And Paul wanted to straighten this thing out. And he did so by writing this letter to the Ephesian church. In this letter, Paul says in verse 11, we're in chapter 2, verse 11, Paul says, so then remember that at one time you Gentiles by birth called the uncircumcision by those who were called the circumcision, a physical circumcision made in the flesh by human hands. What Paul is saying here, he's addressing the Gentile Christians, all who are not Jews or those who were Gentiles. These Gentiles had become Christians. They had been born Gentiles, but some of them may have converted to Judaism before they accepted Jesus, the Messiah, as their Lord and their Savior. Paul showed in this letter to the Galatians that it was not necessary to convert to the Jewish belief to keep the Jewish law in order to become a Christian. The Jews called Gentiles the uncircumcision because Jew males were distinguished from Gentiles by being circumcised 8 days after birth to show that they were Jews, members of God's chosen family. And so Paul writes this letter directly to the Gentiles because he wants to, first of all, remind them of where they come from and then remind them again of where they are now. So then he says in verse 12, he says, remember that you were at one time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. He says, remember what you used to be. You know, that's a very important thing that we must do as ourselves as Christians. I know sometimes we get into church and we've been saved for quite a while, and we forget what we were before we came into the house of God. And Paul here makes a very important point, not only to them, but to us as well. He wants us to remember. He says, remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, as strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Paul told these believing Gentiles to think about what they lacked before they became Christians and what they had gained. As Christians, they were no longer lived outside the circle of God's people. Now, they lived in the kingdom of God as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, they knew that God promised through Abraham and Moses and the prophets, and they knew that these promises were applied to them too. Now they had reason for hope in their life and for life beyond. Now they knew God, and they knew that God loved them and that God cared for them. Paul wanted to stress the fact that, you know, before you came into the ecclesia, before you came into the household of faith, before you came a part of the kingdom of God, you were outside of that circle. You lived outside of the promise of God. But now that you have become a child of God, now that you have come inside, you have accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, now you have become that which you knew of before. You knew who God was. You knew that God had promises. You knew Abraham. You knew Moses. You knew the prophets. And you knew the promises that applied to them and the promises that God made throughout the Old Testament scripture. Now we have reason to hope and reason to hope in life and for life beyond. Now we know God, and they know that God loved them, and we know that God cares for us. So in verse 13, he says, but now in Christ Jesus, you once were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Let me read that again. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. To be in Christ, beloved, to be in Christ is to be in such a close relationship with him, such a close spiritual relationship with him, that is similar to living in a house or a church building. It is life totally influenced by him as he surrounds us with his love. He surrounds us with his guidance and with his presence. The Holy Spirit dwells in believing Christians to influence, to help us. believing Christians indwell Jesus Christ, and he influences and helps us. Because Jesus, the Son of God, died on the cross for us as well as he did for the Jews, though their faith in him may could have been drawn near to God. Because of the faith that we have in him, we are drawn near to God. That's what it is to be in Christ, to be in Christ Jesus. Jesus has forgotten or forgiven them and cleansed them of their sins by the shedding of his blood as a sacrifice for us as well as for the Jew. By dying and living for believers, Jesus has cleansed and prepared us spiritually to live close to him, his Father, and the Holy Spirit. Paul wrote that Jesus had brought the believing Gentiles near to God along with the Jews who came to believe in him as well. To be in Christ, that's a powerful word. It says, but now in Christ Jesus, in Christ, to be in Christ is having a close relationship with him spiritually. It's like having a close relationship with him and surrounding him with your love, because then the Holy Spirit indwells in us. And that Holy Spirit that indwells in us influences us to help us. You see, as believing Christians, with the Holy Spirit dwelling in us and influencing us, now we have in Christ. And Christ has forgiven our sins and has cleaned us. And because he shed his blood on Calvary's cross, that great sacrifice, his dying for us. Jesus has cleansed us and prepared us spiritually to live close to him, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. In verse 14 it says, for he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. He is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups, Jew and Gentile, as one, and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. During the time of Paul, there was great hostility toward those Christians who were not Jews. The Jews looked down upon them, and they said that they were not believers because they were not circumcised. But Paul here says that God has broken down that wall that separated the Jew from the Gentile. That wall that kept that hostility there. Personally, in our peace, because believers in Jesus are now in Christ. And by his dying in the human flesh, Jesus brought both believing Jew and believing Gentile together. After Jesus rose from the dead, he created his church to make Jew and Gentile into one family and one fellowship in the kingdom of God. Since Jesus Christ is our peace, he breaks down the walls of hostility that separates between Jew and Gentile who trust in him for salvation. And I dare say, I'll take it another step further. I dare say that Jesus has broken down the walls of division among many things in our lives. He's broken down the walls of division between old and young. He's broken down the walls of division between black and white. He's broken down division between those who have and those who have not. There are ways that God is breaking down walls, and he's breaking these walls down each and every day. Why? Because he wants us to be one family. He wants us to be together. And because of this, because of his peace that was given in the flesh, he has made all of us one. Paul wanted them to know that the Jew and the Gentile now had become one group, one people, and there was no need to bicker and argue and to have transgression against one another. There was no need to have this hostility and this controversy that was going on in the church at Ephesus. There was no need for that. It was a waste of time, and it was taken away from the true work that the church is supposed to do so many times. We get wrapped up in trivial things that we forget about doing the main things. And we get wrapped up in small trivialities. We get wrapped up in things that really don't matter. and we forget about the work that we're supposed to do. We actually don't have any time to waste doing the work of God. And too many times distractions come in the form of these divisions that will cause us to stop doing the work that we're supposed to do and concentrate on these problems and these divisions and these controversies that we're going through. But we need to come together as people of God in order to do the work of God. Look at verse 15. He has abolished the law with his commandments and ordinances that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of two, thus making peace. Jesus did not abolish God's command to love God and your neighbor. He did abolish the ceremonial laws and the commands that separated Jew and Gentile because he fulfilled the law that pointed to him and what he would do when he came. In Christ, God created one new people, the church, through faith in Jesus Christ. Believers are born again into a new life, and they became a new people. In Christ, the church is one new humanity, and we now focus on God in Jesus and in following Jesus daily. Believers in Christ should live in peace with one another. We have become one body, one spirit, one baptism. And that's what it is all about. God wants us to be one. And these divisions that we have, these divisions that we have created in our religions, God did not create that. These denominations, doctrines, all of these things that we have created, God did not create that. These things sometimes can be divisive. They can cause division in the body of Christ. Verse 16, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. You see, their sins separated Jews and Gentiles from God and from each other. Both groups needed to be reconciled to God and find peace with God. Jesus established this by dying on the cross for both Jew and Gentile. Therefore, there should be no hostility between believing Jew and believing Gentile, especially in the church. Verse 17. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. Jesus proclaimed peace to the Samaritan woman, a Gentile who was far off, as well as he said, to the true worshipers of God in the spirit and in the truth. Jesus proclaimed peace when he appeared to his disciples after his resurrection from the dead. As the resurrected Lord of all, Jesus brought peace to those near him and to those who were far off in time of distance. To all in future generations around the world who believe in him. So when we read verse 16 and verse 17, they basically go together. Actually, all three of verses, 15, 16, and 17, listen to them together. He has established the law with his commandments and ordinances that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death the hostility through it. So he came and he proclaimed peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. When you read those scriptures, they kind of run together. And then the 18th verse runs with it as well. It says, through him, both of us have access to the Father. That's a very beautiful piece of scripture there. What he's saying is both Jew and Gentile Christians have access to God the Father through Jesus. You see, it was by grace, through faith in Christ. He brought both groups of believers into one group. Both groups have access to God because the same Holy Spirit indwells in all believers, whether you Jew or Gentile. Both groups can come to God the Father as his children. His children have the same spirit and truth within them. And this is why he wanted us to understand that, you know, he spoke And in the Bible, there were very many instances where Jesus came in contact with those who were unfamiliar with his teaching, or those him, or those who did not appreciate the teachings that he had. And he brought peace to them. And not only to them, but he also, of course, brought peace to those who were close to him. So by him bringing peace to those who were close, he made them as one. Why? Because through him, both groups had access to the same. Why? Because they no longer are strangers anymore. That's what verse 19 says. Verse 19 says, so that you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God. In the church of Christ, the Gentile Christians are no longer strangers to the true God or to Jesus Christ or to the Jewish Christians in the church or to one another, for that matter. They now know that they belong to God and they are members of the family of God. They now live as citizens in the kingdom of God, as citizens that God has set apart in his holy services. You know, God has brought all of us together for a particular reason. If you did not get a chance to look at the sunrise service of Holly Springs Community Sunrise Service, I urge you to go to our Facebook page, because there you will see all denominations together in one place. You'll see pastors and members of various different churches, various denominations in one place. This is what Paul is talking about. He's talking about a cohesive gathering of people from far-reaching corners, from having far different backgrounds, socioeconomic backgrounds, but coming together in Christ Jesus. That's what this is all about. This is what Paul is telling the church at Ephesus. Because of the great controversy and because of the influx of many people coming into the church there, there was some kind of controversy going on about who was truly a believer and who was not, simply because of where you were born or whether you were classified as Jew or classified as Gentile. And Paul is saying that is nonsense. If you are a believer, if you believe in Christ Jesus, then you're all one. So then you're no longer strangers. You're no longer alien to one another. But you are now citizens with the saints. And also you are members of the household of God. They know now that they belong to God and are God's members of the family. They now live as citizens. And we must live as citizens in the kingdom of God, as citizens that God has set apart for his holy service. In verse 20, it says, built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ himself as the cornerstone. The church of Jesus Christ unites Jews and Gentile believers in Jesus on the foundation of the Bible, especially the teachings of the apostles and the prophets, for they truly reveal Christ and the will of God. The church of Christ keeps the focus on him, who is the greatest architect of salvation and builder of the church. Every stone or every believer in the church should choose to line up with the way of living through Christ, who is the chief cornerstone, the revealer of the truth of God. Built upon the foundation of the holy scriptures, the teachings of the prophets, the teachings of the apostles. We all have those teachings. We all have those, that same foundation, regardless of where you come from, regardless of what church you belong to. We all have the same Bible. We all read the same scripture. We all have the same foundation. And because we have that same foundation, the church must keep its focus on Christ, who is the architect of that foundation and the architect of salvation and the builder of the church. Every stone, every member in the household of faith should choose to line up in the way of living with Christ, who is the chief cornerstone, who is the basis of the foundation of which we believe in. You remember in the Bible where it says that the stone that the builders rejected has now become the head cornerstone. What is it talking about? You know, there were those who rejected Jesus, and there are those who still reject him. There are those who reject him today, but he has become the chief cornerstone. And there's nothing that no one can do about it. He is the foundation. He is the one that holds things together. Without him, the building would fall. So we must honor the chief cornerstone. And that chief cornerstone is the foundation of who we are. Listen to what he says in verse 21. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Listen to that. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord. You see, in Jesus is not only the measure and the standard for these stones or believers. Jesus also serves as the mortar or the cement that joins the stones together and keep them from falling apart and falling away from the structure. He keeps us from falling down, from falling away from Christ. The church is alive with believers growing in faith and in the knowledge of Christ. Therefore, believers live a holy life where God can live in our midst, where the Father can draw people to worship God in Jesus, where the Holy Spirit can lead people to live God's way. In him, the whole structure is joined together. Christ is the cement, the mortar, that holds all of the stones together. Without him, the structure falls. Without him, the building falls. And this is why there are so many people who are anti-Christian. There are so many people who are anti-church, because they are trying to make the structure fall. You cannot come at the church without coming at Christ first. You cannot deal with the church without dealing with Christ first. If you deal with Christ first, then you can bring down the structure. And this is what it's all about. Those who are working so hard to disregard the church or to count the church out. There are many articles that are out in magazines every day. I read them from time to time about the church. Is the church still important in our lives? Why are people leaving the church? Is the church doing what it's supposed? I mean, it's always an article trying to put a negative light on the church. And this is not done by accident, beloved. This is not something that just simply happens. This is by design. And when you put enough stuff out there, people will start believing it. There are those who believe just about anything. You know, there are people out here who are on social media, who will believe the stuff that they see on social media. There are people out here, if they hear it one or two or three times, that's it. They're sold. They're completely designed to believe that what they've heard is real. But we cannot let the world take down the structure and separate the stones. Look at verse 22, the last verse. In whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. Believers in Christ may dwell far apart physically all around the world and throughout the centuries. But spiritually, Christ is building all who trust in him into a dwelling place for God. God indwells in his church, a holy temple fit for his service and for his worship. Not simply a physical building. The Holy Spirit indwells in each believer, each one of us, in Christ Jesus. The Lord builds all who love him into a church that enjoys the fellowship and the peace of God. Together, the true followers of Jesus show forth the grace and the living and the loving kindness, the truth and the wisdom and the way of salvation. So when the Bible speaks of these stones, they're not really talking about stones. They're talking about you and me. The building is just a building. The stones are us. We are the stones. We are the ones that make the structure. And that structure is not just in one building. That structure is across the world. All the Christians, all the believers, and don't ask me how many there are right now. I did know at one time how many Christians there were in the world. I can't remember exactly the number, a billion of people, billions. I know it goes into the billions. I don't know how many. But I know that there are people all over the world who are Christians. And there have been people before us, and there will be people after us. And all of us make the structure that God here wants us to make as a believer and the structure of his temple for his kingdom. And this is what Paul is saying. He says, in whom also we're built together spiritually into an indwelling or into a dwelling place for God. He wants us to know that believers in Jesus may dwell in far parts of the world. We may not live in all one city. We don't live in all one state. We don't live in all one country. We're all over the world. There are Christians everywhere, in Africa, in Asia, in Australia, in Europe, in France, and various places. There are Christians everywhere. And all of us can be called one family because we're all a part of the same foundation. We're all a part of the same structure, and we all are trying to do according to the will of God, to live our lives the way Christ Jesus has left us through the prophets and through the apostles. This is what we focus on. We're talking about living each day for Christ. We live each day for Christ. We remember what Paul says. Paul tells us to remember, first of all, where we came from. Remember who you used to be. Remember where you used to go, what you used to do, and the way you used to think. And now you have been changed. You have been turned. You have been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. And no longer do you think the same way. No longer do you do the same thing. No longer do you have the same concept when it comes down to Christ. Now you have a better focus. Now you have a better understanding. Now you have a better idea of what God had in mind when he created his church. So I ask you today, what are some of the differences that make for someone who lives each day for Christ? What are some of the differences in those who live each day for Christ and those who do not? Think about that. You know, we have great privileges as those who live each day for Christ. And you think about those who are living outside of the blood of Jesus. What are some of the differences make for someone who lives each day without Christ? And then what are some of the differences that live people who live each day for Christ? And how do people have access to God the Father? What difference does it make when a follower of Jesus learns that he or she is growing with others in a holy temple of God? Should it inspire us to continue to go on? Should it keep us focused that we will stay on the right track, that we will not veer off of the teachings of the prophets, off of the teachings of the apostles? What difference should it make in our lives? We who claim the name of Jesus Christ, we all who are in the ecclesia, those of us who have signed our hand to the gospel plow, now that should make some type of difference in our lives. And Paul here wants to stress the fact that there must be a difference, because those who live each day for Christ live differently than those who do not live each day for Christ. So there must be a big difference. There must be a big change. There must be a big turnaround as believers of Jesus Christ. Believers in Jesus have this physical and this spiritual connection with God. And because we have that spiritual and physical connection with God, we have a right to the tree of life. Paul, the apostle, is addressing the Ephesian believers who are predominantly Gentiles or non-Jews. He reminds them that their past state before coming to faith in Christ Jesus, these Gentiles who were ostracized, who were looked down upon, they were not mixed with Jews. Now he's telling them that you are now part of the household of faith, and no longer is there any separation, but now we're all one, and we move as one, we think as one, because we have the same foundation, and we have the same Savior in Christ Jesus. I'm going to go to the lines a little early tonight. There may be somebody who wants to stress a point in the lesson. I'm going to go to area code 919. First call on the line was area code 919, last four digits, 2106. Are you on the line?
Yes.
Good evening.
How you doing?
Doing good. How are you?
All right.
All right. You want to say something about the lesson?
I enjoyed. This is my first time hearing you doing Bible study, but I enjoyed this lesson tonight, and I will be coming back.
Well, thank you. Can I ask who this is?
This is Joanne. I was at church Sunday. Joanne
Oh,
Williams.
Good. Yes, yes. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Well, thank you for being with us Sunday. Thank you. And tell somebody about the Bible study. We're on every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. So thank you for joining
us.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Okay. All right. Area code 919, last four digits, 2314. Trustee Mayhem, is that you?
Yes, sir.
How are you tonight?
I'm doing okay.
Good.
I enjoyed the lesson. I really did enjoy the lesson. One thing I want to say here, that we know living each day for Christ is like a journey.
Mm-hmm.
And we should not let our past haunt us. Instead,
mm-hmm.
We should focus on the present moment, knowing that we know that God's grace it covers us. So we need to regularly attend church services. That way we're showing gratitude. We're rejoicing, and we need to just continually, to pray and give God thanks in all circumstances. And doing these things, it helps us to stay connected to God and
mm-hmm.
others.
Mm-hmm.
And, and when we spend time in prayer daily, that's how we build a personal relationship with God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I like what you said about living each day for Christ as a journey. I like that. That's a better way to look at it, because you have to take it almost one step at one day at a time. And it is a journey. It is a journey that leads to a wonderful solution. Thank you so very much for that. Thank you. Area code 919, last four digits, 3447. Are you on the line? You might be muted. You might have muted your phone. Okay, I'll come back to that. All right, let's go to area code 984, last four digits, 1570. Are you on the line? Are you on the line? You might have muted your phone as well. Area code 984, last four digits, 1570. All right. Area code 919, last four digits, 3447. Are you on the line? Okay. All right. Well, I got two people who are on the line, but they're not saying anything. Maybe you're just listening. There's nothing wrong with that. We don't mind you calling in and just want to hear the Bible study. It's all right with that. Just say I'm just listening. If you say that, then I'll know to go to the next person, and that way we won't keep calling your number out that way. But I thank God for all of you who have called in tonight. Yes, but what this letter is all about is Paul wanted to direct them to have a better understanding of what it means to be in Christ, to be a Christian. And not only that, to be in the household of faith. So many times in the household of faith, we get, like I said before, we get caught up in triviality, and we don't concentrate mm-hmm. on the bigger picture. God has a bigger picture for us. He has a bigger understanding for us. And because the picture sometimes is so big, many of us are oblivious to what the message is. So we have to take the time to realize that if we live each day for Christ, then we know that we're living, that our past state does not matter, as Trustee Mangum said, and that we are now together in one body. doing the same thing with one focus and one foundation, and that no matter where we are, no matter what part of the world we live in, no matter what denomination we belong to, we all have the same structure, we all have the same belief, we all have the same foundation. And because we are all in common with that, then we should have one thing in common, and that's living each day for Christ. I'm going to try those two numbers again. Maybe they're back on. Area code 984, last four digits, 1570. Are you on the line? 1570. Okay. Area code 919, last four digits, 3447. Are you on the line? All right. All right. Well, I don't know.
Hey, Pastor.
Huh? Who's
hey,
that?
Pastor.
Okay, how are you? Okay,
dude,
you 3447? Which one are you, 3447?
Yes,
okay,
yes,
right, go right ahead. Go right ahead.
Oh, I was just listening. I get joined a little later, but it's always good to have a reminder of where you come from. And Paul certainly did that with the people, letter to the people, because we forget a lot where we come from. We are surrounded by the world, and we do worldly things, and but we forget who we are.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. I really didn't have a whole lot to say, but yeah.
Oh, okay, I'm going to ask you one of the questions that I posed. What do you suppose is the difference in those who live each day for Christ and those who don't? What do you think the difference in their lives are?
There is a joy that comes along with that. The Christian or the person who reads the Bible, the one who goes to church just to go to church on Sunday and does not live throughout that joy surrounds that person each day. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Everybody's going to have bad days and stuff, but the one who really is the true disciple understands that you're going to have a little rain with the sunshine through the trials and stuff, you still got that joy. Versus the person who does not live for Christ, you know, 7 days a week, they deal with pain and sorrow differently than that person who has that joy of Christ in their heart, because they're closer to Christ. They're closer.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, you said it right on. I couldn't say it no better. That's absolutely right. It's that joy and the peace that they have living in Christ Jesus. Thank you so much, Deacon. Thank you. I'll try this number again. Area code 984, last four digits, 1570. Are you on the line? I want to go back to Trustee Mangum. Trustee Mangum, are you still there?
Yes, sir.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes,
what difference does it make to believe in Jesus? What's the difference? I mean, I'm someone you just met. I'm out in the world. And you're trying to introduce me to Christ to come to First Baptist. And I said, what difference do it make? Why should I come? Why should I give my life to Christ? What difference does it make?
That's kind of a hard one there. The difference is that it'll make a difference if you give your life to Christ.
Okay.
It's your journey, I would say, a life easier.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Since then, and you know, when you come up with facing circumstances, if you're in Christ, you have something to stand on to help you get through this situation.
Mm-hmm.
Better because you have come to Christ, and you know that all your help come from above.
Mm-hmm. 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 Thank you. I'm glad you answered that question, because I believe every believer ought to be able to answer that question. I get that question quite often. Anybody who goes out and does any kind of missionary work, or you come in contact with people and they know you are a church person or someone who goes to church, and you will certainly, the conversation will come around to church or Christ or God in some kind of way. And I've been asked that question by several people. What difference do it make? Why should I come to church? What difference? I'm gonna live. I'm gonna die anyway. I mean, what difference do it make? I've had people have that kind of attitude toward the church and toward living a life for Christ. And I think that every believer ought to be able to answer that question the same way you did when someone asked them that question. If we can't answer the questions, if we can't answer the questions that non-believers ask us, then we're in bad shape. So I hope that everyone heard your answer. I hope they listened to this Bible study, because I would like for every believer to be able to answer the question when they are asked, what difference does it make? Because it does make a difference. Go right ahead. You want to say something?
Yeah, another thing is that you want them to be saved like you, so that,
right,
you know, hopefully they will make it into the kingdom also. Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's right.
That's it. You know, them to get to know Jesus, you know.
That's right. That's right. That's it. That's why we do it. Because, we do that for them, because we want them to know.
Right.
We want them. God does not want anyone not to be saved. So
right.
Our job
right.
is to go out and tell them all, you know, to come
that's
on
right.
in. You know, and mm-hmm. if we can do that, if we can answer the hard questions, because if we go out there, and I've been out there many times before. This is probably in my younger days in the ministry when I was doing a lot of traveling. And I would run into a lot of groups of people, and they would say, "Oh, preacher, come here, preacher. I'm gonna ask you a question." You know, they always want to mess with the preacher. And then, what difference do it make? Why I got to go to church? Why I got to do this? Why I got to do that? And I think they know the answer, but they want to see if you know or if you have the knowledge to explain to them. And that's why so many Christians, so many people can't answer those questions. And when they're asked questions by their family members or people that they just meet in social settings, they're not able to answer those questions. And we must be able to defend our faith and be able to answer questions, the hard questions, maybe not the hard questions, because you got to study to read those hard questions, but maybe the surface questions, we ought to at least be able to answer those surface questions. I've had people ask me, why do I have to be baptized? You know, surface questions, you know, things like that. And if you can't explain that, then it's a turnoff for them, because they say to themselves, well, if you don't know, then why should I know? You know what I mean? So we have to be on top of stuff like that. We have to, as Christians and the believers and those who are in the household of faith, we have to be able to answer those tough questions when we're asked those questions. We got to learn how to, not only for us to live each day for Christ, but to teach others to live each day for Christ as well. As Trustee Mangum so well said, we do it for them, because we want no one to be lost. Deacon
That's
Fuller,
right.
are you still there?
Yes,
all right.
Sir.
Well, let us. Will you give us a prayer tonight? Close us out.
Yes, sir. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for allowing us to be able to hear your word and to understand your word and live out your word in our lives, Lord. We thank you for this Bible study. We're few in number, but we're two or three together. In your name, there you are also, and we are thankful for that, Jesus. We ask you, Lord, that you just bless every house represented in the First Baptist, that you pull that flock together, Lord, among other churches, Lord, that need you in these times of struggle and these times of misunderstanding and trials and tribulations. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to be able to recognize that you are the true living God, Lord, and that we need you in our lives, Lord. Thank you for the Bible study. Thank you for our wonderful pastor, Lord, and time that he has devoted to help the growth of First Baptist and its disciples, Lord. We thank you for him and his family, Lord. Right now, Jesus, in this this time and this hour, Lord, that you add a special blessing to those who have attended in this Bible study, and those, even those who will listen to this later on, Lord, that you give them a special blessing, Lord, of understanding, of peace, joy, happiness, and divine peace, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Deacon. I thank all of you for being on the line tonight. I pray that you have a good night tonight. We'll see you Sunday morning at First Baptist of Holly Springs. Goodbye. Have a good night. Good night.
Good night. Thanks for joining, Joanne.
All right, man. Thank you. Good night.
Thank you.
This is Gene Mason. Mrs. Who?
Gene.
I got many miles behind me. I got many.